Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello and welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. My name is Ryan McInniff. I am here with Janet, and on this channel we give you information and education about senior care topics. And today we're talking about an article that was in the Boston Globe in the last 24 hours, and it's all about how Massachusetts is trying to become the Silicon Valley for age technology, and how our leadership, our governor, and our state senators are all working very hard to help make this area more tech-friendly for older citizens, which is really a long time coming and really is going to happen. And we've seen that in our work about how technology is slowly but surely creeping in. Wouldn't you say, Janet?
Yeah, I think it's, and I think we are in a perfect environment for it. And our governor happens to be someone who had his mom, I think it had memory issues and whatnot. So he's walked the walk from a family member standpoint.
Yeah, he certainly has had his experiences with family caregiving, as most of us have. And it was just an interesting article because, you know, I'll just read. They have three examples. There's a company called Pilo or Pio. I guess it's Pio because it's an Italian. It's based from an Italian family. I think that's how you pronounce it over there. Anyways, it's in Boston, and it's a robot that sits on your kitchen counter and greets them in the morning and gently reminds them to take their pills. There's another one called Eversound, where it sells wireless headphones whose volume controls let seniors with varying levels of hearing loss exercise or watch movies together. And then another one is Rendezvous, which is software that can transport household elders to the African Serengeti and the Machu Picchu and basically anywhere they want to go in the world through virtual reality goggles, which quite frankly doesn't really sound like age tech to me. That just sounds like cool tech. That's I don't think you need to be 80 to want to use that one. But clearly there is a lot of emphasis that's put on technology in the home care and the aging care population. Before I get into my opinions on all this stuff, Jana, what are your opinions when it deals with this type of technology with seniors?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I think there are a lot of innovations, some of which you've just mentioned, that really could be very good things. But I think there's going to be to plan for the aging population that is currently young adults. The young adults now have a technology knowledge that they're going to adapt easier. People that are in their 70s, some even in their 60s, whatever, that are used to older technology, this is going to be a little bit hard, I think, in some ways. You know, you see some things like commercials on TV for the video doorbells. Those, I think, are awesome. The idea of putting a robot on the kitchen counter that's going to tell my dad to take his pill or my mom would freak her out in the morning. So I think there's going to be different things that, you know, are going to come along. But I think that we are in the right place to do it, the right mindset. I think this particular, the greater Boston area is a great opportunity. I think comparing it to a Silicon Valley kind of thing, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so you know, I always, whenever I give my opinion on technology and seniors, I always feel like I'm the guy that's selling the typewriter that's saying the computer's not going to take over anything and the typewriter's still going to be good. I love technology. I think it's cool. I wouldn't say that I'm a tech file or somebody that's like super into it, but I definitely like it. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I like playing with gadgets, you know, going to Best Buy or whatever. It's like a kid in a candy store. You get to check out the newest cameras, the newest video games, the newest TVs, bigger the better, all that stuff. The issue that I've seen with technology trying to creep in with seniors is that you're always 30 to 40 years behind where the people that are using it are. Like, my point being
that's
is that
true.
Right now, an 80-year-old, how comfortable are they using an iPhone, let alone using more advanced technology? Now, I have aunts and uncles that love their iPhones, and they're great with them, and they've adapted technology, but we've seen seniors that absolutely, I have nameless employees that don't like understanding what some of the technology that we use on a day-to-day basis is, and they don't feel comfortable with it, and they don't want to be involved with it. Mm-hmm. So I think human nature is once you've, I think human nature has some, we're getting a little philosophical, excuse me, here. But it seems like human nature, once you hit maybe 50 years old, 60 years old, you kind of like, listen, I understand what I understand. I don't necessarily need to learn the latest, greatest technology. I've got a family. I want to go do this, that, and the other. I don't have the time for it. I've even done that with some of these social medias like Snapchat or whatever the latest, greatest one is. It's like, listen, I don't need 50 social medias. If you want to get to know me, you can find me. And I think that that might be kind of a human nature. It might not be individual to you that's listening to this right now, but it's kind of the way that I've seen it. So, you know, I was at a conference a few years ago, and there was a ball that they said they were developing, and this thing was like six figures expensive, that this ball was going to always roll around.
Like a soccer ball?
Like a soccer ball.
Okay.
And it was going to, like, follow the senior no matter where they went, as long as there weren't stairs involved. And then if the senior was in the bathroom too long, because this ball, basically a robot, knew the layout of the house, if they were in the bathroom for more than 10 minutes, they would start knocking on the door. Like, it would bump into the door, you know. And if it bumped into the door for 5 minutes or more, it would automatically call 911. And it was this cool little thing. It was a cool idea, and they had a prototype there, and it was like, all right, you know, this is cool. Who's going to spend $100,000 on a ball? And what happens when your loved one has dementia and they freak out every morning because there's a strange object following it around that's out of a sci-fi novel? It feels like the technology is going to adapt and it's going to creep its way in. But how much is the question? Like, I know a few years ago, have you ever heard of Honor? Is it Honor?
Is it on?
Honor. I think it's called Honor. It's a startup out of Silicon Valley. And it was supposed to be, I think it's called Honor. It was supposed to be the company that would take down the private home care industry. And it was a care platform and technology that basically allowed you to go online, type in what you needed, when you needed it, and what kind of services you had, and then you filled out 10 questions, and then a caregiver would just show up at your home, ready to provide care to your loved one.
Like a concierge, just
it was kind service. Of like Handy, where you just type in, Handy's another app where you type in the time, the size of your home, and what your availability is, and a cleaner shows up and cleans your home. And that was that app. So it was an app that connects, kind of like Uber, connects riders with drivers. It connects caregivers with people who need care. Well, you know, again, sounding like the guy that says the typewriter is going to stay in fad for the next 150 years when Apple's coming out in 1980 with the first, you know, Macintosh. We see every day the intricacies of having caregivers come out, needing to learn the case very well, needing time to be prepared, the ongoing training, the care plans, the instructions, the human factor, people getting late, people not being late, you know, on call 24 hours a day. It was just, I looked at it and I was like, this might take over. It might, I can't say no, but That's a pretty big jump to go from, you know, the amount of time and investment. Gosh, if an app could do everything, I wouldn't need any employees in the office. But I do, because nothing goes right. You know what I mean? Like, things go wrong. Schedules get out of whack. You know, personalities don't fit and things like that. So it was just one of an example of, like, they're putting billions of dollars into technology. And there are people that are far smarter than me that are putting up their money to fund these startups. Now, granted, what? 5% of these startups are going to last more than 2 or 3 years or 5 years. You know, they all, the vast majority of them, you know, it's a numbers game. They're going to fail. But, you know, one of the things, and I don't know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. One of the things that I thought was interesting is my dad and my aunts and uncles, you know, they're all between 60 and 80 years old, 65 and 80 years old. They love Alexa. They think Alexa from Amazon is the greatest thing to come out past the iPhone. Have you ever had an experience with Alexa?
I haven't. I have parents in their 80s, and, you know, we live in the land of you find yourself trying to change the channel on the TV with the phone that you that's on the table. So they're not there with that. But I hear people, there are people that love it.
Well, and I'll give you an example. A few years ago, maybe more than that, years ago now, when DVDs were still popular, I bought my dad a DVD player that also had the ability. It was a smart DVD player, like they have smart TVs, where it had app for Netflix, an app for Amazon, so that you could do the streaming. So I got him to buy Netflix because the House of Cards show was outstanding. Had to have him watch it. He wanted to watch it. He never figured out, I don't believe, how to go in, hit the right button on the remote to go to the start, the smart part of the DVD, log into Netflix, and watch the show, which to most people is second nature at this point in time. But when all you have to say is, Alexa, play country music. And then country music comes on. Don't need instructions to do that.
Yeah.
Alexa, what's the weather today? Alexa, put, you know, turn
voice
on
recognition,
the TV.
Those kind of things, I think. I think those kind of things are going to take a big hold. And one thing I was thinking about is, you know, there was a technology that is advancing, and in a lot of healthcare, it's called telemonitoring.
Yeah.
And the idea is that it does basically three things. It does like a blood pressure, an oxygen level, and someone's weight. And to have a person in their home be able to use this equipment and have it report back to a VNA or somewhere else, it saves having someone come out. And that works really well. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking maybe this is going to be a future generation, based on reading this article, of maybe that's a direction that Fitbit might go in.
Yeah.
Because if you get people wearing the Lifeline monitors or the things that say, I've fallen and I can't get up, well, wouldn't it be great if there was a Fitbit that's nothing more than a bracelet or a watch to people, which is not, doesn't interfere, and it just automatically takes that information.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll record through, you know, to your point, like the Alexa thing. Those are the things that I think maybe nearer in the future than some of the other things.
Yeah, I mean, and there was, you know, to try to be as fair and balanced, I think, as the newspaper can be, they had a woman named Alexandra Schumann, who it was kind of vague. She's a management consultant in Washington, D.C. From where? I don't know. I don't know what consulting company she works for. But her point was is that technology overpromises. People think they can design a robot or write some code that will solve all problems, but only people can meet the emotional needs of other people. And she doesn't see a lot of this technology as substitute for human contact. Now, that is true in some cases, right? When you're there's no way that a robot is going to be able to comfort somebody the way that a human being can at this point in time. I mean, if you want to be freaked out and you're listening to this podcast, go to YouTube and type in Boston Dynamics into the YouTube search bar. And Boston Dynamics is a company that was bought by Google that is building robots, life-sized robots, so that, and animals, so that they can be used in many different ways. And these robots, it literally looks like Terminator 2. It's freaky.
That kind of freaks me out. But
at the same time, they're trying to get a dog to run. And this dog can run at 30 miles per hour and it will not fall over. And they put it on ice, they put it on all these things, which is impressive. But when somebody's sick and they just want their feet rubbed, or somebody's sick and they want their hand rubbed, that robot is nowhere near, at this point in time, being able to give that emotional comfort and emotional feeling, and then the physical comfort and feelings of a nice light massage. They're getting this thing to be able to understand how to run, navigate stairs, things like this. So this woman does make a point where at this point in time, you're nowhere near a robot coming in and providing care for somebody. But if a robot is able to come in and provide caregiving services for somebody, and this industry will obviously be decimated by that, or things will change, then every industry is going to be decimated by it, because you'll have a robot doing everything that anybody, any human being can do. So that's not too much of a concern on the business end of mine, but I really think with this article that the voice-activated technology is where, if I had to put my money on something, is where to go.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that as long as, and unfortunately it's many years down the road before they come up with any kind of a cure for Alzheimer's or dementia. And as long as there is dementia, I think you and I have work to do.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of these things, it will be helpful to a lot of people. And I think there will be a merger. And I think the age population in this area too, the different groups. You've got young people with great ideas. You've got older people that are very receptive. And then there's all these other people in the middle.
Yeah.
So I think it's an exciting thing. I think there are going to be young people with robots that are going to get frustrated because some people are going to say, no. But I really think it's an exciting time. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And the only other thing that, you know, the two biggest hurdles I see is that you're trying to teach technology that's new to somebody that's old and maybe set in their ways. Like the technology that I'm used to right now is going to be vastly different than when I'm 80 years old. And am I going to be able to adapt to that new technology, even though I understand how to use a Droid phone and I understand, you know, many different things when it comes to wireless networks and technology and things like that. Am I going to be able to adapt when you're 70, 80 years old, set in your ways, maybe having memory issues, maybe having arthritic issues, you know, all those things that come in. The other thing, I think that gap is something that's going to be a hurdle to overcome.
Yep.
The other thing I think that's going to be tough to overcome, and if I can speak on the business side, is who's going to be the ones paying for all this? If a ball that follows you around in your house is going to be six figures, $100,000, but it can't prevent a fall, it can't do anything, but it oversees you and sees how things are going. Who's going to be the one that pays for all this? So we look at Tesla, that car company.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 100,000 people that bought into Tesla. They wanted that first Tesla, and they paid out the nose for that Tesla. They paid $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 for that Tesla so that now Tesla can make a car that's $30,000, right?
Exactly.
You have to get that ROI back from that investment. So my thinking is that a lot of this technology, what's going to end up happening is that private home care companies are going to be the ones buying it. And then they're going to be the ones that then rent it out to family members. Because if you have a family member that you have no idea of knowing, but let's say you have a family member that's 93, well, it's a pretty good shot she's probably not going to make it to 103, right? Just going off of a numbers game.
Yep.
There's a probably pretty good shot that she's not going to make it to 98. It's just a statistical knowing that the older you get, the better chance that you're not going to make it to your next birthday, right?
Yep.
So who's going to invest $50,000 or $70,000 or $20,000 into a technology that might only last for 6 months? And then they don't need that technology anymore.
Yep.
So my thinking is that the private agencies, as this technology comes in, are going to be the ones that say, hey, listen, I'm going to invest $100,000 in buying three of these balls, or just one of these examples, whatever it is.
Yep.
And then I'm going to rent that out at $1,000 or $2,000 a week to my customers, and over time I will recoup that money back and make a profit off of it. So that's how I think that technology is going to be implemented, unless the technology is so inexpensive that it makes it like that. The thing, what were they talking about? The virtual reality? Who knows that? But if that's like $2,000 or $3,000, then I'm sure there are a lot of people that would be more than happy to pay for that when a person is in a wheelchair and they're going to live for another 10 years. Well, you can do your VR and you can check the world out or whatever.
Yeah, if they're not afraid to have something foreign strapped on their head.
True, that's true. But like, I think when you start talking the big kind of money, that's why we're in business, is because basically people are renting caregivers from us, right? They're essentially coming to us to rent caregivers, us to handle that. And then when they no longer need caregiving, they no longer have a caregiver that they have to pay money for.
Correct.
So, that, I mean, very simplistic, but that's kind of the business, is we're selling labor, we're selling services.
Right.
So I think that's kind of how that technology might have to go moving forward.
I think, too, some of the inroads of a lot of these things aren't necessarily going to be today's elderly population as much as today's disability population. Because if you have people with disabilities and physical limitations, you can work through some of the design, make some of these things more popular. I mean, you think it wasn't that long ago when there was the one standard black wheelchair for people.
Yeah.
And now it's like they have titanium, and for kids they have these things in all these wicked cool Crayola crayon colors. And because of the volume of that, like you say, the price came down.
Yep.
And things have become easier. And now you can lift them up and put them in the car. And those weren't people that were older, but they, and also with younger people, they're more adaptive. Adaptable, I guess is a better word. So I think the combination of just all the rehab facilities we have in this part of the country, I think that's going to kind of join forces with the elderly, and that may be how a lot of these things come to be.
And that's an excellent point that I didn't even cross my mind. So instead of the private agencies buying the items, they might be able to mass market it to the disability side of things, and that brings the cost down, and thus it's able to be more of a retail service rather than a wholesale service where we're buying it and then renting it out
right.
to people.
And you have less of that dementia or confusion issue to it. And, you know, if someone is a young person and they're in a wheelchair, or I saw a picture in the paper just the other day of a little girl who had one of those 3D printer manufactured artificial hands. She threw out the first pitch at the All-Star game.
Oh, those are crazy.
You know, and it's those things that they're so cool. And you put that on a kid and they could make it hot pink or whatever because she likes unicorns in pink. And they've made her life far more normal. You know, and to go through that process, I don't think you're going to, like you say, invest in that in someone who's 99, who's probably not going to realize the value of what that can do.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I remember when those 3D printers came out, they were super expensive, and now you can get them on Amazon for a couple $1,000s, which, don't get me wrong, that's not like cheap pocket change money, but comparatively to where it was 10 years ago, I mean, it's insane how the price has come down, and those things are so those robust on what they can do.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible.
So, absolutely. The technology is going to be interesting on how that goes, but it's just interesting to also see, you know, our governor, whether you love him, whether you hate him, or you're in between, is clearly putting money and resources into developing that specific area of technology and trying to become Silicon Valley 2.0 when it comes to age tech. And maybe that morphs into disability technology as well.
Yep.
But that's always a good thing for Massachusetts to have more companies here, more companies, more jobs, more people. It funds the, it fuels the economy.
And we're a mecca for pharmaceuticals, but everybody's fighting to bring those prices down.
Yes, so they are. They are. But that is a probably 12-hour podcast right there. But that's just part one.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's like one of those Ken Burns documentaries on the Vietnam War that
there
like lasts 30 hours. That's the pharmaceutical industry right there. Anyways, thank you very much for listening to Caregivers Toolbox. I hope you have a great day, and we will catch you on the next one.